In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we gather here on the Sunday of All Saints of North America. It is now our second Sunday after Holy Pentecost. Just last Sunday we celebrated the Feast of All Saints. This second Sunday is given to us to recall that it's possible to be a saint in every place, in every day and age. In America, we celebrate the saints of America. In Great Britain, the saints of England. In Ireland, Ireland. Russia, Russia. Everywhere across the world, there's a celebration of the saints in their own localities. And today, we remember the North American saints, those men, women, and children who were sanctified by the grace of God here. I want to begin with a question. How many of us want to get to heaven? Hands for this? Okay. Second question, how many of us want to be saints? Third question, how many of us know that getting to heaven is being a saint? That it is not possible to get to heaven without being a saint? Do we realize that? Because what is heaven but sharing in God's holiness and appreciating that holiness? What is hell but the rejection of God's holiness and hating that holiness? Our eternal destiny, whether we're in heaven or in hell, depends upon whether or not we become saints, whether or not we love God and He abides in us and we in Him. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. We're speaking about saints, and the word saint literally means holy, those who are holy. We celebrate those who are holy in North America today. Last Sunday, all the saints. Last Sunday, we spoke about the saint as a vessel, someone who's filled with the grace of God. Though they're an earthen vessel made of clay, dust of the earth, that God has imparted His own life to man, filling him with the rich treasuries of His grace. And man becomes a sanctified vessel. So, what does man do now that he's sanctified? We put him on a shelf somewhere, in a museum, lock him away. What we're called to do is become now instruments of God. After we become His vessel and filled with His presence, we're called to allow Him to animate us in the body of the church, to perform His works, to be charitable, to share His teachings. We have a job. We have a job. One of the things that we're asked to do as instruments of God is to sing His praises. We'll speak a little bit about music today. I want to share with you a quote to get you in this frame of mind. This was a quote from Johann Sebastian Bach, famous musical composer. Everyone's heard of him. He was playing the organ one day. Someone said to him, "How do you play so beautifully? How is that music so beautiful?" Here's what his response was. He said, "There is nothing remarkable about it at all. All one has to do is hit the right notes at the right time, and the instrument plays itself." Sounds simple, a little too simple perhaps, but in another sense, he's right. He's right. You hit those notes at the right notes at the right time, it's going to be beautiful. The human being is meant to be an instrument of God. God is meant to animate the human being, so that the human being can offer a beautiful song of praise. In the church, we don't have musical instruments other than those created by God Himself, the human being. We sing with our voice, that God-given instrument. And this is a wonderful offering that we give to God. In many churches, we have choirs. In our church, we have a wonderful choir. And the choir has a special job. Choir's job is to lead the people, everyone, each and every one of us, in the singing of praises to God. What a privilege to be a choir member. Everyone knows to be in the choir, though you can't just do your own thing, that there's music to be followed, that we have a director. Choir's laughing. I can see the choir laughing. There's music to be followed, there's a director, right? And we're to sing in harmony. What happens if we don't? What happens if we decide instead of doing the Lord's Prayer number 4, we're going to do number 7? What happens if the director is trying to hush us or amplify us and we're just not paying attention? You have chaos. You have disharmony. You know, the choir director gives a pitch. Mom, are you here? Give a major pitch for us. Now, what happens if I chime in with, it's disharmony. It's not right. Right? We can have a sense within us that something is wrong. God created us to sing harmoniously together. One voice, many persons, many instruments, as a choir. This sermon is not about singing in the choir. This sermon is about the Christian life. Because whether we sing in the choir or we sing in the services, we must learn to sing praises to God in our life. We must learn to praise Him. What music book do we have but the Divine Scriptures? They order our steps. They tell us what to do and when to do it. Right? It's about hitting the right notes at the right time. What director do we have? We have the clergy of the church, our fathers in Christ. We have a bishop. We have priests. We have deacons. We have people who are appointed to lay ministries in the church. We have a choir director. We have people who lead the servers. We have a senior warden, a junior warden, a treasurer, secretary, council members. We have all of these people who are in leadership roles to help direct us. And of course, they're directing us to God-given harmony, so that all of us, as instruments of God, can offer that song of praise together. What are some obstacles that we face? If the first thing is learning the music or learning the scriptures, the commandments, the first obstacle to that is an unwillingness to learn. And why wouldn't we be unwilling to learn? There's a variety of reasons. One, we might think that we know everything. There's nothing more to learn. And that shuts off all learning. We might not be interested in learning. We might have our own thoughts and be not interested in what the church has to teach us. We could have our own ideologies. Another reason could be simply indifference. We don't see the point. Why learn? What's the big deal? Can't we all have our own truth? Why do I need to learn about God's truth? This is an obstacle to our learning. Second obstacle is an unwillingness to be led. It's hard to be led. It really is. That's one of the great challenges of the Christian life, to submit ourselves to God and His leadership. And His leadership through the church, which is animated by His Holy Spirit, but which is made up of fellow human beings. How hard is it to listen to a fellow human being? Sometimes it's hard to take a pitch. Sometimes it's hard to listen to the instruction of senior servers. Sometimes it's hard to listen to the priest. These are hard things. But if we're willing to allow God to lead us through His church, animated by the Holy Spirit, we'll arrive at harmony. And harmony is the goal, harmony with God and with one another. Of course, an unwillingness to be in that harmony, to be in that community, is an obstacle. How could we manifest our unwillingness? Well, simply by not coming, by not being here as part of the community, there's an unwillingness on our part. We're stepping back, we're withdrawing, for whatever reason, but we're not part of that community. Or if we come, maybe we're only here halfway. Maybe our minds and our hearts are elsewhere. Or we might not be on board for the program. We might not like the Lord's Prayer number 4. We might not like the sermon. We might not like the reading of the post-communion prayers after the liturgy. We might not like that the pool's open, or that there's coffee hour, or that there's cleanup afterwards. We might not like these things. And when we come with an attitude of holding back, keeping ourselves from that community, we bring with us an aspect of disharmony, a discordant note, a spirit which is not of God. Of course, these obstacles can all be overcome. Every obstacle can be overcome in Christ. And He gives us the church to make that happen. When we look at the teaching of the church, the sheet music, when we look at the scriptures, the Word of God, we see an unchanging, pure record of what God Himself has given to us. You want to hear Bach's music? You better find something that was written by him. If you want to hear the Word of God, you have to hear His Word in the Holy Scriptures, His teachings preserved in the doctrines of the Church. And this is unchanging. Bach wrote music once, Christ delivered to His Church His teaching once. And we hold on to these things. There's a continuity in the Church from generation to generation. You can trust that it's authentic. And we do well to study it, to learn it, to apply ourselves to it, to keep it. Well, what about leadership? Can we trust the leadership of the Church? Good question, right? Can we trust our fathers in Christ, our lay leaders? Can we trust them? We can trust them in as much as what they teach and they lead in is in correspondence with number one, that continuity of apostolic teaching, doctrine, and practice. And if it's in continuity, we should trust them wholly, because we are not trusting them, but the author of those teachings. Difficult. Difficult to hear a fellow human being's voice or read a writing of advisement or admonishment or correction from a fellow human being. And yet, that leadership is God's leadership, inasmuch as it's in correspondence with His teaching. And we can trust His teaching and we can trust His leadership. Finally, the Church offers this wonderful opportunity. If we're on board for number one and number two, for the teaching and for the leadership, to be part of that harmony, to no longer be a discordant note, but to hit the right note at the right time. And we'll be part of this wonderful hymn of the Church, singing praises to God. You know, this is a hymn that we don't have to recreate and kind of come up with how it might have sounded in apostolic times. You know, we don't have to do that. I think that that's one of the wonderful privileges we have in the Orthodox Church, that we have continuity not only of teaching and not only of leadership with apostolic succession, but we have continuity of praise and worship. This is what Orthodoxy is all about. Not just teaching, but also worship, right? Worship of God. And this is a hymn that the Church has been singing from the time of the apostles till now. There's continuity. We don't have to figure out what it should sound like, what it should be like. The Lord gave us that. The apostles shared that. The martyrs confessed that. The fathers and mothers wrote it down. And we participated in it in every community of the Orthodox Church. We hear that wonderful hymn. We have the opportunity to be part of it, to lend not just our voice, but our heart, to become not just a vessel of this grace, but an instrument of God's grace. I want to close with a couple of things. There's a quote here from 27 Tips for Mastering Anything from entrepreneur.com. The article has some good things and some bad things, but I'll pull out one thing that drew my attention this week. And this goes to the heart of the matter of being a Christian. Point number 8 says, revert to a feeling of inferiority in order to truly learn. And he cites this gentleman, Daniel Everett, who was a gifted linguist who traveled to the Amazon to learn a language of a tribe. And he was a skilled man of high intelligence, but he had difficulty with his language. He wasn't able to learn it, wasn't able to understand it, to comprehend it. And he struggled for years. And finally, he got to the point where he was humbled by it. And he realized he couldn't conquer it. He needed to submit to it. And he said he became like a child, immersed in that language. And he soaked it up like a sponge, and he learned it. You know, the Lord tells us, He says, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever shall humble himself like this little child, this one is greater in the kingdom of heaven. We must become as children. And parents, we must do a good job, a Christian job of raising our children. We all fall short at this, myself included. But this is a tremendous task to impart to our children truth, leadership, order and harmony to their life with God and with one another. Here's what the Lord says to us. He says, whoever shall offend one of these little ones who believes in me, the children, it would be better for him for an ass's millstone to be hung around his neck and he be sunk into the depth of the sea. This is a stern warning for us to raise our children properly. You know, last night I was reading an article online, and it's an article that was posted on Facebook. And Facebook has some good things and some bad things. This article was both good and bad. It was an article talking about children in church and how we should bring our children to church because that's the Lord's command. And that anyone who tells children to shh or to be quiet or to be orderly, that they're not doing the Lord's work. They're driving people from the church. They're destroying the church. And I thought to myself, you know, I think there's some truth there, and I also think that there is some falsehood there. Because, yes, the Lord truly says, let the children come to me. But he asked them to come so that he might teach them, so that he might lead them, so that he might impart harmony and order to their life. Not so that the church will become chaotic. We bring our children to church so that they can be grafted into the life of Christ, so that they can be raised well and in a way that we can't do ourselves at home. We don't have the continuity of absolute truth. We don't have the continuity of apostolic succession in the priesthood. And we don't have the beauty and harmony that our church has and that's possessed from generation to generation. We are privileged with so many wonderful children in this church. And we're privileged with so many wonderful adults who understand that our children need to be here and they need to be brought up in the faith. They need to be disciplined. And as adults, we understand something even more. That this bringing up in the faith, this discipline, isn't only for them. It's for us. It's for us to lay down our pride, to put aside our ideologies, to humble ourselves and see ourselves as inferior to God and His church and in need of His help. The Lord just said today in the Gospels, He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we are willing to become poor in spirit, to humble ourselves, to be as little children, the kingdom of heaven will be ours. And we will become God's saints, His holy ones. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.